Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
When the Kings was trying to get the Kings out of Sacramento.
Right.
David Stern said, absolutely not.
And David Stern wanted the team in Memphis.
Correct. And he believes, David Stern used to believe in the small market, one franchise cities.
Yes.
Because he's like, they can take over. It takes a little bit of time, but they can be the thing.
And he's not wrong.
Silver seems to not care.
He does not give, he does not give a crap. It feels like he is the smaller market teams are there to serve.
I mean,
big markets.
I think this finals proves like they're not like looking out for him.
They are definitely not.
Like they're, it's almost like that they're like humoring them.
Yeah, it is weird that there, it feels like there hasn't been as big of a show put on in these finals.
Yeah, my whole thing was because this has been a topic for me because mine is so like, it's noticeable.
Yes.
So the question is, what's going on here?
Right.
Is this, because like we were kicking around every idea. At some point, the answer is always follow the money.
Sure.
Okay. Like I'm not oblivious to that, but it's like, well, what is going on when you won't put any signage
yes.
around? Is it because that's taking away revenue opportunities? Is it, you know, this is 8 minutes that we could be showing commercials? Like, what is going
right.
on here? Or is it just like they don't care that much because they're not into it?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like, why? I don't know. It feels like they would make even a push that the NBA would, because these are not star-driven
like,
cities, they would try to bring in celebrities to try to pad the crowd.
I wonder this. If the Knicks had won the Eastern Conference Finals, would we have had the same issues? And I do actually wonder this. My instinct actually says yes.
Really?
Because I don't think they realized what they were doing until people started being like, hey, what's going on?
Hey, why is there no pageantry?
Correct.
But
which
how is that
suggests
possible?
That there's no plan.
That they don't care?
I don't know.
I don't know that either.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is that in their mind, they thought the final sells itself.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess.
But like,
do you think that maybe that the final sells itself? Do you think they went, well, this is a loser anyway? I mean, do you think with the teams we have, do you think they looked at it and went, this is a loser anyway? So why are we going to spend more money to not make much difference?
Okay, but like, what is the like when we're really thinking about what is the money they're spending?
Like, right? I don't know.
Like putting some signage on the floor.
That's nothing.
Telling ESPN to show the starting lineups.
That's nothing.
Maybe hang some banners in the arena that says this is the finals?
Right.
Because to me, like, that's the other question is, was this ESPN's decision or was this the NBA's decision?
Yeah. It just feels like it should look different. Everything
should... It should not feel like you and I are turning on Friday night ESPN in February.
No.
And that's what it's felt like.
It does. It should look and feel different. I mean, to the point of they should create new graphics and new the game ticker thing should be different and should be signage everywhere and you should have the anthem on and the starting lineups. Like, it should feel different every time.
I don't get, like, that's the other thing. Like, whatever happened to the, before the finals, the, like, if you go back on YouTube, and this is not even, like, romanticizing the NBA on NBC, but like watch the intro video
yes.
into every game.
Yes.
The scene setter.
Absolutely.
Everything. It was like poetry.
Yeah. As it's like, well, it's like they're more pushing their desk of analysts
yeah,
more than they're pushing.
I think that's what's happening.
And we get that every It's like okay, the TNT show is a raving success, so we're just going to try to push that kind of thing because that's what people want. Except for the finals, you need to have those talk shows, but like there needs to be pageantry involved, and I don't understand why they're not doing that.
Yeah, I think if you made me say, like, gun to my head, it's like I think it's an ESPN thing more than it is an NBA thing, because it feels like when you're watching it, ESPN's just promoting ESPN.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
And their people.
Definitely.
But
it's that the same thing you always said about their app, is that they're not promoting.
They're just trying to get you there.
They're just trying to get you there to get you to buy a UFC
Correct.
Fight. Not to actually give you a quality product.
That's all. They're just, everything is designed to steer you to the app.
Yeah. Who cares? Once you get there, who cares?
Exactly.
It just needs you to go there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even if you're not buying the UFC fight, hopefully you're clicking on something that has ads.
Absolutely.
So, I mean.
Oh, there we go.
It's the air of optimization.
It's the air of optimism. All right, Jeffrey, I'm going to let you get out of here. Thank you for joining us. That's Jeffrey Wright from Jeffrey & Company. Thanks for joining us. Have fun at Third Eye Blind tomorrow.
I've also got a radio show, too. So.
Oh, there's also that.
And walking a dog in the sea.
And walking a dog. Man, this guy, I tell you, employee of the decade. Man, husband, dog dad, real dad of the decade. There he goes. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have the rundown for you. You're listening to the Jason and John Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in on 92.9 FM ESPN. Is this Christopher Cross?
Right. Is it? I believe it is. Do you just want me to load this up with all Yacht Rock today? First day of summer.
100%. Yeah.
It is Christopher Cross.
It is Look Christopher Cross. Listen, I'm all about it. If it's a Yacht Rock day on Jason and John,
it is the first day of summer.
I am here for it, my man.
I'll see what I can find for you.
Totally here for it. Welcome back to Jason and John Show, 1990 FM ESPN. I'm J.R. Moore filling in. Hey, producer George, let's do the rundown. Number one on the rundown. Do we have numbers we have to hit, or do I just go?
Ride with it.
Just ride with it. Well, it's what we've been talking about earlier so far this show. The Pacers beat the snot out of the Oklahoma City Thunder last night to win Game 6 of the NBA Finals. 108-91. It wasn't that close. It was the Pacers out thundering the thundering. I mean, literally Freaky Friday style. They changed bodies. We have now a Game 7 in OKC on Sunday, and I could not be more excited about having a Game 7 in the NBA Finals in my favorite sport. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
I'm hopeful that it's going to be awesome. I really am. OKC is really good at home.
They are really good at home, but I just can't see the Thunder. I mean, the Pacers, like I said, they're
not going to roll over.
Yeah, they're not going to roll over, and like a cockroach, they won't die. And they just keep coming back. And so, you know, I mean, I think that they're susceptible to one of those Thunder runs where that building is insanity and they go on like a 17-2 run of just fast breaks and of created by turnovers. I can see that happening, but like this is one of the weird, that Pacers team is one of the weird teams that if when they enter the third quarter down by 14, I'm like, I'm
Lead's
still watching.
Safe. Lead's
yeah,
not safe.
Lead is not safe. There could be 6 minutes left and the lead is not safe.
Shoot, 14 going into the fourth quarter. Lead's not safe.
Lead is not safe. And so like, you know, I'm not, even if it's not a close game throughout the entire game, I'm not even totally worried about it because until we're 30 seconds left and it's a double-digit lead, I'm like, I kind of still feel like there's a chance.
There's always
and they're not
a
going to give up. And that is the thing, is that they're not going to roll over. So I'm excited about the idea of a good Game 7. I'm sure it will be. I think it's going to be awesome. So, you know, even though it's two teams that most of America doesn't care about, I care about it, and I'm happy that a couple of small market teams are getting the job done.
I'm all for this. I'm super excited for a Game 7. I really hope we get a game that's more similar to some of the earlier games. I mean, Game 5 in OKC, it didn't feel super close.
No.
But the first couple games were just absolutely electric back
well,
and forth
action.
Well,
I mean, each team has had a dud. I mean, last night was a total dud for OKC. And then the Pacers have had a dud as well. And I really thought after when in Game 4, when the Pacers did not get that game, which they controlled for most of the game, and then OKC just kind of
They outpacered the Pacers,
yeah, and ran off on it. I thought, okay, that's finally the better team is going to flex their muscle and put this away. They did not.
No, they did not.
Which is great. Surprises. Like, for the longest time, the same teams won the NBA Finals, won the championship. It was like the same eight teams for 20 years won the finals, and it was so predictable. And, like, you just started this at the beginning of the season. You went, okay, who's LeBron playing for? And they're going to go against the Warriors. That seemed like that happened for a while. And then before that, it was Kobe and Shaq. All right, who's Kobe playing for? Who's he playing for? He's obviously playing for the Lakers. But yeah, it's going to be a Kobe team, and then
whoever comes out of the East.
Whoever comes out of the East, maybe even a LeBron team. You know, like, it's you just knew it was predictable who it was going to be, and it's incredible that we have two brand new teams, and it feels like we're getting something new every year with the NBA, and I think it's awesome. It gives me hope as a Grizzlies fan that, like, maybe someday. I mean, probably not. Think about how long the Pacers have been a franchise, and they still may not get this, but they're in the mix. And, like, they're in the mix.
I think that's the value, and we talked about it in the first segment. There is a value in just being good.
Just being good. Because you just never – the injury bug, it worked our way once in the Core Four, and we got to the Western Conference Finals. But it feels like it always goes against us. But if you're just always good at some – just the – by the way of percentages, you're going to be on the positive end of somebody else's misfortune at some point. So just try to remain good, and then you get lucky. You know, it's with everything. Timing is everything. It just sometimes timing works in your favor. And I feel like if the Grizz consistently remain good and in the mix, they're going to have their time.
And I honestly, with what we've seen so far to start the offseason for the Grizzlies, I think they're very much focused on that in
yeah.
not just being good, but getting better off of, for however last season ended, it was still a 50-win season.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it just happens that they're in a very stacked Western Conference,
yep.
which is not going to be any less stacked
yep.
next year.
Yep.
But if the Grizzlies continue to make some of these moves, I think they're improving. I think the guys that they've picked up so far, like KCP, I think he's going to be a starter on the team next year, and I think he's going to be pretty darn good for them.
I think so, too. I think he's going to be a... I mean, I don't. To my knowledge, they don't have anybody until now. Anybody on the roster over the age of 30, which I, you know,
well, until KCP.
And I say until now.
Yeah.
But so I think that's a needed person on your roster. Somebody who can play, who is a veteran, who has won. Those three things matter, and so that voice can carry because he has the experience and he can still play. And so I think I hope they keep him, because I think unless there's something else magical that they need to use him on, but I hope they keep him, because I think he's going to be worthwhile. And what's crazy is, like, as bad of a taste as you had at the end of last season with the Grizzlies, because they just did not finish well, for the most part, when Ja Morant plays, they win games. They win. More times than not, they win when he plays. And so if you can let's just try to get our guys to be healthy enough to play.
Yeah, I mean,
can we get like 65 games out of Ja?
I don't even know if they need 65. If we can get to 50, 55,
yeah,
they very well could be in business. This is a funny one, because you made me think. I was like, you know what? KCP is going to be the oldest player on the team so far next year. Do you know who the second oldest is?
Who, Jaren?
No.
Who?
It's Conchar. It's Jitty.
Is it really?
He's 29.
Like, come on.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Everyone else is in their early to mid-20s.
Like, that is, young teams don't really, the OKC is the anomaly here. Young teams don't win in the NBA. They are, OKC is the definite anomaly. It's guys in their late 20s with a sprinkling of veterans on their team that win. And so that we've been as good as we have been with the youth we have, like, is impressive already. It just, everybody had a crappy taste in their mouth again, because it just the way last year just ended bad. And no, I mean, the numbers don't lie. They were not beating good teams. That is what it is. However, again, they still won a bunch of games. And when Ja plays, they're generally good. and they generally win. So let's all just
take a breath.
Take a breath.
And hope it'll be all right.
And hope Ja is good. All right. Speeding ticket stories are all the rage these days.
We've had at least two or three come out.
Is this evidence of like a slow news cycle, or do we care about people speeding?
I don't think we actually care that much about people speeding. One of them is, I think, kind of popped off because it's local.
That's true.
Semi-local.
Semi-local.
He wasn't doing it here.
In Tennessee, right.
Of course, our 7'4", 300-pound Zach Eady driving a Kia.
Got clocked going 101 miles an hour in Indiana and in a Kia Sorento.
News to me. I didn't know Kias could get that fast.
Oh, yeah, they can. I mean, I'm guessing he had the V6 Sorento.
I would hope.
Well, yeah, they make that Joker in a four-cylinder. Maybe he had the six. Listen, more shocking, I shouldn't say impressive, maybe it's impressive, more shocking than him going 101 miles an hour is that Zach Eady can fit in a Kia Sorento. The man can drive and spend his money on whatever he wants to spend his money on, and he's on a rookie deal, so if he didn't want to blow it on a car, matter of fact, I give more power to him.
Absolutely.
I think it's smart. Don't blow all your money on a car. So if you want to drive a Kia, drive a Kia. What do I care? I hope it doesn't get stolen, because all Kias get stolen. And but number two, my wife used to drive a Kia Sorento, and we got rid of it because the car wasn't big enough, and my wife is small. So that literally, we liked the Sorento, but it was too small for me and her and our two kids.
Good question now.
Yeah.
How far back do those seats go?
They do not go very far back. So to fit
Is this a custom?
Maybe.
Sorento?
So to fit a 7'4", maybe he's driving 101 miles an hour because he's so uncomfortable in the car.
He's like, I can't stand being in this vehicle. I've got to get out of here.
I need to minimize my time in this driver's seat. So I've got to drive fast wherever I'm going so that I can get out of this car. I need extra time to get in and out. More than anything, I can't believe he drives a Kia Sorento from the size alone. I don't care about how much it costs or that it's a Kia.
Of course.
I just can't imagine a 7-foot, it's got to be like a clown car, him getting in and out of a vehicle. And so
it feels like to me like that Kia commercial, or I don't know if it was Kia or might have been Kia, where they were trying to squeeze four, five WNBA players in there. And I see it's Asia Wilson in the front seat. I was like, ma'am, you're like 6'6".
Yeah.
Ain't no way you're fitting in there with someone in the back seat.
No, not a chance.
Impossible.
Not a chance.
I feel like the other speeding story.
With Shador. I think it's just because it's Shador.
I truly think that's just because it's Shador Sanders.
Here's the thing is that, all right, I'm going to qualify this.
Yeah.
We have the people that speed on our interstate in this city is jarringly dangerous.
Is that the speeding, or is that how they're also driving at the same time?
I think it's both.
It's both.
I think it's both, because like, it's one thing if you're going 20 over the speed limit, that's one thing. If you're passing people 50 miles faster than they're going, the speed at which they go by you startles you as a driver. So like that, and then you add on top of that of the weaving, that like, come on, man, we're just asking for horrible, horrible consequences. Okay, so I'm going to qualify that. You shouldn't speed like that. That said, cars now, especially, I'm assuming Shador probably has a nice car.
It looks like he was driving, because I've
especially if it's electric.
It's not. It looks like he was driving a Dodge, a TRX.
Okay.
One of the real big, real fast trucks.
Yeah, okay. But cars now, if you have a nice car, they're so powerful and they're so quiet that it is easy to be driving 85 and not know it. I think if you're on the interstate, you can be going 85 and not even realize it. So driving 90, you could, as long, you know, traffic pending, if you're in a lot of traffic and driving like that, then that's crazy and you will know it and that's dangerous. But I bet it's not hard and not, like, I bet you could almost accidentally be going 100. Almost. Not, maybe 100's a lot. But you could accidentally be going 90.
Easy.
Easy. In these
Easy.
Because the cars are powerful enough, and they put the amount of sound deafening they put in these cars and how smooth the rides are, you don't even feel it.
Half the time you don't. I mean, and for what it's worth, looking at the story with Shador, these are just tickets.
Yeah, he's on the interstate. It's not like he's in a school zone. He's,
no.
You know, he's 101 in a 60, in a 65, so he's on the interstate. And, you know, if there's not traffic around, it's probably real easy to get a little heavy-footed. And so while I'm not saying, I'm not trying to make excuses for somebody driving 100 miles an hour on a public road. I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. And nor do I drive 100 miles an hour on a public road. I can just see that this is not a story to me, in that as long as he wasn't under the influence or in heavy traffic and being and endangering the lives of others, it's just a speeding ticket, man.
Certainly shouldn't be.
Are we making a big deal about speeding tickets and like to try to make it like a knock on him as a character? He's what, 21 years old?
23.
He's
and
23 and rich. And
he was, and like you said, heavy traffic. One of these ones he's pulled over at like 12:30 in the morning.
Yes. That's an empty interstate.
In Ohio.
I've been driving. I've driven through Cleveland at 12:30 in the morning. It's not heavy traffic that it's easy to go fast. Very easy to go because it's a big interstate.
Yep.
So you got a lot of lanes to work with. And so I don't know. I think this is kind of hogwash. Have you ever driven 100?
Yeah.
So have I.
Mainly? Guess when? In the middle of the night where there's no one on the road.
There's nobody there.
There's no one there.
That's exactly right.
Like, come on.
I think one of the times I drove coming home from Fayetteville, Arkansas, and those mountains going downhill along the mountains, and there is not a soul on the interstate, just me. And so we're like, well, let's just see what it feels like.
Having driven to and from Fayetteville, even during the day a lot of the time.
Easy.
No one's there.
No one there.
No one is on the roads.
Easy to go. All right. Hit the next one. The U.S. men's national soccer team beat Saudi Arabia in the CONCACAF Gold Cup last night to automatically advance to the quarters and the knockout round of that tournament. They beat them 1-0. It was wildly unimpressive. Not a great showing. They looked like they didn't really give a crap. And here's the thing is that it's because they probably don't. And which sounds terrible. But I read a column about this, and it's what is plaguing U.S. soccer is actually what plagues the rest of the world. What is messed up about U.S. soccer is that we're becoming like the rest of the world, and which that you're like, no, they're not. They lose all the time, and they're not very good. And I get that. I hear that thing, except that if you're, I don't know, above the age of 30. You're used to all of the best American players always playing playing on our U.S. soccer team at all the international games, and then being such high leverage games and always being important, and it puts so much emphasis on these games. And that's because when this became a thing, like in the 94 World Cup when Alexi Lalas was, you know, playing for the team, the MLS did not even exist. We did not have our own the highest level professional soccer league that we have now. And none of our players were playing in the great leagues in Europe. So the highest and level games that any of American players played were the international games. So that's why all of our best players always played them. And that's why they always meant so much. Well, now our players, all of our starters, like the reason we're barely winning these games is that most of our projected starters in the World Cup are not playing in them because their club teams are more important for them to play for their club teams than to play in their international teams. We're not the only country that deals with this. France deals with this. Poland deals with this with their players. Like the club championships are the most important thing. And it's hard for us to understand as Americans because you're like, really? MLS club championships are more important than the U.S. national team? And that's maybe not the case because it's MLS and still the level of MLS is still not one of the top tier leagues, even though it's our best league. It's not one of the top tier leagues. However, why do you think Steph Curry doesn't play on the Olympic team every time we do this? Why do you think it's sometimes hard to get the best American players to play on our Olympic teams every time they're eligible. It's because it's more important for them to play on their NBA team. They make all their money playing for their NBA team. Their NBA teams who hire them don't want them to play every single Olympic season because they want their player rested to then play the NBA season. The professional soccer season runs from September to May. That's a long season. And these dudes make hundreds of millions of dollars to play for their club teams in Europe. And so, no, it's not a big deal for them to come play in the Gold Cup over here against Trinidad and Tobago. It's just not, or Saudi Arabia, who bought their way in as a guest on our Gold Cup. And so it's like a, it's a plus minus. It's like, the U.S. team looks terrible. It's a total mess. And why are we look so bad? Except that it's because we're becoming like the rest of the world. Every international team that is worth anything has gone through this. Argentina went through this. I mean, Messi retired from playing for Argentina for a while. Mbappe in France. Mbappe has made $400 million playing club soccer, not playing for France. So there's a time when he didn't play for France. I think this is like a normal thing, and I think it sucks that we don't look very good, but it's great that that means that we're becoming more like other countries, and that when the stars align, when our players play, maybe it actually elevates our team because the training and the work these guys are getting on a regular basis, they're actually playing regularly against the best players in the world as opposed to only playing important games when it's in international play. So I know that most of y'all do not give a crap about soccer, but I do, and I like it, and it was exciting. It's exciting news to me.
It is.
And
I mean,
I kind of liked reading that article. I was like, okay, I like us being more like the other countries. Like, let's, you know, it makes the World Cup feel like we're still the underdog, but I feel less like the underdog knowing that, well, we're pulling guys from Bundesliga and Premier League and the Italian League are the guys who play for us, which, you know, I think is better.
Now, I will say, I don't want to give a complete pass to everyone because,
no,
obviously, it does feel like there are some players, especially players that are leaders and players that,
yes,
have been on the team for as long as some of them have. The big name one, obviously, is Christian Pulisic.
Yep.
Like, I was just curious to see how many games he actually did end up playing this year for AC Milan. And just in the Italian league, he only played 34 matches. And I understand that he also did play in the Champions League and all of these other things,
yep,
with Milan, but for all intents and purposes, he's healthy.
That's true.
And this is a team, a U.S. team, with a new manager.
Yep.
They're wanting a new style of play,
yep,
after, you know, how many years of kind of Berhalter ball, which,
yes,
as we can see, not working out.
Didn't love.
Not working out great in the MLS either, mm-mm, I'll tell you that much. Mm-mm. So I understand where the frustration comes from when, and of course, it isn't just Pulisic. There's other players from other leagues that aren't playing with the U.S. men's national team right now. But when it comes down to it, sometimes we do need those leadership-type players to come and play. The one that I want to give a lot of credit for is actually Tyler Adams,
yep,
who did come back, who is playing in the Gold Cup,
yep,
and plays in the Premier League.
Yep.
Coming off of, what, his second ACL tear or,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah.
So, there for a handful of these guys, there really isn't that much of an excuse. And for a lot of these other ones, other teams, we do end up seeing some of their stars, but this is going to sound a little crazy maybe, but I feel like it's a bigger point of national pride when,
yes,
it comes to a lot of these other teams when, because of their rich history.
I agree with that.
Because they've won UEFA or like the Europe League.
Yes.
I can't remember it off the top of my head. Their, you know, international conference, you know, or,
well,
in,
I mean,
South,
just
America,
look at the what was it, Spain and Portugal just played in a final.
And they had like all their stars playing.
All the stars played. Ronaldo's there. They're all, and it looked like it mattered. But I wonder, how long has that tournament been happening? Because it, and maybe that's just the rich history of that turn. I don't know. They looked like it mattered a lot to those dudes.
Yeah.
In that game, they were going max effort, and it does. You're right. I don't disagree with you that it some of them don't have a lot of excuses. But like some of the guys are playing actually in
the Euros. That's what
the
it
Euros
is.
Yeah. Are in the Club World Cup. So they're actually
that's different
they
because they have
play.
actual
tournament they're playing in. So they can't leave their clubs to come do that. So that makes sense. But if you're just taking time off, I mean, I understand why that, you know.
Was it the Euro that just happened? I don't think it was. That was 2024 that happened. But I completely understand, and I remember, you know, the game that you're talking about. I can't recall exactly what competition it was.
It's the UEFA Nations.
Okay.
Yeah, UEFA Nations
League. That's what it is. We did talk about this. The Nations League is relatively new, if I remember correctly.
But it still mattered to those dudes. And so,
the Nations League only started in 2018.
Wow.
But the fact that they're able to potentially bring their country a title.
Yes.
And when I'm talking full-on stars, like Spain and Portugal essentially had their World Cup teams out there playing against each other. And even though it's just for the Gold Cup, which is much, much older than the Nations League.
You're right. I mean,
we're not able to pull.
We're not. I mean, well, you know, it's also kind of like as a country, we only care about the really big tournament. Because like, was it the FIBA Worlds in basketball? Like, we want to win, but our stars don't go play in that.
No,
they don't care, and most of they just don't care. And other countries maybe do. And so I don't know what the difference is in that. Even though the UEFA Nations League is a young tournament. They were putting their world. They were putting their stars were out there, and it feels like we only care to make sure our stars are there for the World Cup, which only happens once every 4 years.
And part of what makes it, I think, for me, a little more frustrating is going back to the fact that we do have a new coach.
Yes,
we do have a new system that they're trying to put in place.
Yep.
To hopefully go further in the World Cup. But how are the best players supposed to learn that system, gel with their teammates, all of that stuff, when they're not even at training camp? Pulisic actually, did you hear what he actually said about it? He's like, I wanted to play in the two friendlies before, but I didn't want to play in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, yeah, he asked for the Gold Cup off.
What?
Like, why? I mean...
That's like saying, I only want to play in preseason, but I'm going to take the first couple months off.
I want to get
make
my warm-up in.
Make it make sense, yeah. Yeah. I want to go through shoot around, but I don't know about this game. We're going to scrimmage? Cool.
You're on to
game
something.
Time?
I do love
that.
All the drama, though, like with Pulisic's dad getting involved.
Great.
Oh, man, it's Landon Donovan having things to say. I think that's great. All right, let's we'll get out. We'll stop talking to soccer at all, you yahoos. Next story. There it is. We found the button.
I was about to say, you have not looked on this side. It's a bit of
a
maze over here.
A lot going
on.
Well, as we talked about with Jeffrey earlier in the last segment, the Lakers got sold for $10 billion to the Dodgers owner Mark Walter. And I didn't get to ask you, George. Let me ask you this. If you could own any franchise, who would you own? Any sport.
Any sport.
Any sport.
You know what? Just because I know how much is going on with them, I am going to say my favorite baseball team. I'm gonna pick the Rays.
What?
Just to make sure that they stay in Tampa.
What?
Just to make sure they stay in Tampa. Even though they're about to get sold.
You could have said anything.
Yeah.
And I would have believed it before saying the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yep. I got to keep them in town. They have to stay in town. I'm keeping them in Tampa. We're building a new.
Where would Tampa be moving? Who wants a baseball team that doesn't have one? Nashville?
So up until I guess they're potentially getting sold sooner than later to a group, but that's a group in Florida, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, there were talks of okay, we're going to move them back to Montreal.
Oh.
We're going to move them to Nashville. We're going to move them to one of these big cities that doesn't have.
Well, Montreal was not supporting the Expos, though, right? That's why they moved to D.C.?
Correct.
Right?
Shoot, for longer than I'd like to admit, they actually, the current owner, Stu Sternberg, was going to have them split time between Montreal and Tampa, which is disgusting.
That is very disgusting.
That's nasty work.
Do you think the attendance issues there is solely due to that piece of crap stadium?
So, funny enough, they aren't playing there this year because,
I know, because
the roof got ripped off.
They're in Steinbrenner Stadium, right?
Yeah, they're in Steinbrenner Field, in Tampa, but it's a AAA ballpark.
Right.
Like, the numbers are going to be down anyway.
Like a 15,000 cap or something?
Something like that, yeah. It's a small ballpark. It looks like attendance has been better there, but now you get into the problem of it's an open-air stadium.
Right, so it's hot.
In Tampa.
Yeah.
And you're playing games in the afternoon and at night.
You think that's the same reason why Miami, why the Marlins don't draw either?
That I have no idea why. I mean, that's just because the team is a mess.
I mean, maybe so.
Like, they're just really bad, but the Rays are actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of it is because the stadium is in St. Pete, not actually in Tampa.
Sure.
So people don't want to have to cross the bridge, all that stuff. But they tried to move them to Tampa already, and they just can't seem to want to put up the money to build a stadium.
Well, are they rebuilding the dome? Or
they're putting the roof back on. Yeah, they're
not building a new place for them.
No,
they're just repairing Tropicana.
Yep, they're putting the roof back on. Well, they also have the lease there until 28.
Oh,
so like in a way similar to like the Grizzlies. Oh, they're going through renovations, stuff like that. But the lease is ending at a certain time. Whenever that gets a little closer, you know, we see what happens. That type of thing.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, then maybe you can own the Rays.
I can fix the
You can fix the Rays. I mean, of all the glory for I gave you your dream.
Yep.
I gave you endless money. You can own or buy any franchise, and you pick the Tampa Bay Rays.
You know what? That goes back to what Jeffrey was saying. As sports fans, how much would we actually give just to own our favorite team?
That's true. That's it. I mean, that makes a good point. If you were just like, blanket, what would be the like probably the most fun thing to own? I feel like it'd be the Lakers. It's where all the stars are.
It'd be awesome.
Or the Knicks. It would just be fun.
Get to sit courtside with Timothy Chalamet and Spike Lee. That'd be awesome.
That'd be just the cool thing. But if you could just own your favorite team, that I get that.
That's like the I will never, you know, that type. Yeah. I will never sell.
I will
that
never
type
sell
of thing.
This. Yeah.
For you, would you just own the Grizzlies?
I would probably just own the Grizzlies. Yeah. Yeah. Either that or the Dolphins. I'm a Dolphins fan of all things.
They draw.
No.
They don't?
Not really. Miami's a terrible sports town. Terrible sports town. They're awful. Nobody shows up till halftime.
Okay. No, you know, is that a beach city problem? Because that's an L.A. Dodgers problem, too. No one shows up to, like, the fourth inning.
Yeah, and maybe a beach city problem. There's a lot to do in Miami. And so I get it. Like, that's a lot of competition. There's a lot to do. But it's a bad sports town. And I did not know that when I became a Dolphins fan, I didn't know that. I just liked Dan Marino. And I thought their colors were cool. And they were good. And they threw the ball over. Everybody,
those old, like, starter jackets?
Yeah.
They're sick.
Well, everybody else was handing the ball off and running up the middle. The Dolphins were throwing it like it was today times. And so I was like, yeah, that's my team. I didn't know that nobody went to the game. You know, that it was a bad sports town, and that they would never win again, ever, after 1984. Who knew? Who knew that you pick one of the historic franchises to become a fan of, and then they're like,
they stay
nope,
historic.
They stay historic. What a time. So I'd probably own one of those. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about we're going to dive in a little bit. We've been talking all the talk has been happening all week about Stephen A. Smith and Memphis, but we have a few thoughts about that. You're listening to the Jason and John Show. It's 99 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I love this Yacht Rock first day of summer, Jason and John show. Man, this is the way to do it. Oh, that made me feel so good. I didn't even have my headphones on yet, but I heard it coming through. And I was like, ooh, I got to jump in on this. Yeah.
We all love some Michael McDonald.
Yeah, buddy. Come on with it. Let's go. All right. Welcome back to the show. So, you know, we've had all the talk this week about Stephen A. Smith from ESPN going on a national platform to talk and say that NBA players do not want to come to Memphis because it's dangerous. And so there's been some back and forth, and you know, it's one of those unwinnable situations because he has a massive platform, and he's just going to, no matter what you come back at him, he's just going to dig his heels in and make it look worse and worse for us, going on the next day to bring up crime statistics to say, again, on national television, for some reason that I have no idea why, because who else has done this? When has anybody ever said anything about any other city in the NBA? Why is he doing this? What purpose is he serving?
It's, clicks.
It's, I mean,
clicks, eyeballs.
Yes, but like, why would you come after Memphis? We're not even going to get to the most clicks. Say it about Chicago. I mean, why? Like, nobody's saying Caleb Williams didn't want to go to the Bears because he heard it's dangerous in Chicago.
No, he just didn't like the coach.
Right.
That's.
But it's absurd. It's absurd to say it. It's absurd to be on national television for a guy not from Memphis to just say that. Like, what are you talking about? And please tell me the NBA player that played for the Grizzlies that the team wanted to re-sign that they lost. Does it exist?
I'm sure there's been one or two, but
that
not...
That the team wanted to re-sign? Every person they wanted to re-sign, they have kept.
But my thing is, it's never been because of the city. Maybe it was the money that didn't work, or they went somewhere to go maybe get a championship. That's very different than the conversation we're having. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
It's like, it's not because of Memphis. It's, okay, cool. I can go get a $30 million contract somewhere else, but maybe not here.
Even in the money. If Memphis wanted to re-sign them,
they stay here.
And so him saying, listen, are you telling me that, sure, does some NBA players say that? Sure. You can say that about literally every city. Why does he not bring up Atlanta's crime statistics or Chicago's or St. Louis?
Or Detroit.
And say that...
or even New York or LA.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. He's getting the attention he wants.
Supposedly he's coming.
That's so Mayor Young extended an invitation to say, we're getting better on our crime stats are down. We're getting better and we're working on it. And he invited Stephen A. to come to Memphis. And, you know, Stephen A. accepted his invitation. Now, when did that ever happen? Who knows? But he did. He said that he has has friends here. And then I did see on Twitter that on Gilbert Arenas' podcast that Kendrick Perkins supports Kenyon Martin's view that Memphis is a dangerous city for NBA players. And they noted that Desmond Bain appeared to be happy to be traded to the Orlando Magic.
Didn't Des also go on a podcast and say, no, I loved Memphis.
Yeah.
Memphis was awesome.
And then Rashad McCants actually says in the same pocket, says, why when Memphis cities like Chicago, why people became on Memphis when cities like Chicago are dangerous just as well? So basically making our point. And yes, Des has said he liked Memphis. And of course he appeared happy to be going to Orlando because Orlando clearly wanted him. And you are happy to go to the city where you are wanted. And I'm sure he has his feelings hurt by being traded from Memphis. But I don't think that has anything to do with... NBA players do not come across the crime problems that Memphis has. I've never heard one story where it happened to an NBA player who plays for the team or who is visiting Memphis. Never.
Neither
I've never
have I.
heard
no.
one story. So what are they talking about? The NBA players live like every other rich person here. They move out into the suburbs, into their massive mansions, and then they drive in to go to work where they park underground at the Forum. And then go to work and then drive back to the suburbs and do whatever they do like every other rich person that's not an NBA player does. I
don't get it. The only thing that I've heard that Des said that might come across some kind of way was about the practice facility.
Sure.
But that's just because the practice facility is inside the Forum.
Right.
That's the only thing
I
know where it is. Like, I know the practice court is inside. They're not going to have any windows when it's inside
Right.
the Forum.
Right.
Sure. Maybe the Grizzlies could do a better job and have a separate practice facility.
Sure.
Whatever.
Whatever.
That's not about the thing that we're talking
about.
Like,
yes. If you have a problem with the franchise, that's a problem with the franchise.
That's not a problem with the city of Memphis.
That's not the city. That's exactly right.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and that conversation is just absurd. But that does lead me to this. And again, I'm acknowledging 100% Memphis has a crime problem.
Hands up.
Let's not be ridiculous here. Of course it does, as do a lot of places, but Memphis also does. So let's say yes, that's true. What I think Memphis really does have, though, is a PR problem. Mm-hmm. There is that. I feel like there needs to be some sort of almost like that, you know, the tourism division or of whatever of the government where they're trying to attract tourism here and they run the tourism spots, or at least they used to run tourism spots.
Yeah.
I feel like the city needs to hire some sort of marketing and PR firm.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.